The following sermon, entitled Jehovah My Portion, was preached on the morning of July 4th, 2021 at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. If you enjoy listening to our sermons, we encourage you to come worship with us. For more information on upcoming service times and Bible study opportunities, please visit our website at hopeprc.org. The
scripture reading this morning is found in Psalm 119. We'll begin reading at verse 49. Psalm 119, verse 49. We'll read through verse 64. Our text is verse 57, but really that verse summarizes that whole eighth section. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy word. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning, as I mentioned earlier, is verse 57 in that eighth section of the psalm. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, there's something about a young child in a family. That child is comfortable and has a particular perspective on life as they live their lives in the security of their family and under the care and protection of their parents. That young child has a particular perspective when they cross a busy road, maybe even a unconscious perspective. They are secure. They have a whole perspective on life that is affected by the fact that they belong to that family. Well, how much more is that the case when we consider that we belong to our faithful Savior? How does that color your life and mine, that we belong to our Savior in body and soul? You see, that gives us a vertical perspective on all of life. Now we look at life not just on the horizontal plane, not just looking at our circumstances and the things around us, using only that perspective, but now we see all of life in relation to our belonging to Jesus Christ. That was the perspective of the psalmist. Psalm 119 is about the psalmist's pilgrimage through this world, but he carried on that pilgrimage with a particular perspective. I asked my children about Psalm 119 and what they thought about the psalm, and there's some things that we're all familiar with. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And that might give the impression, when we think of Psalm 119, that reading through it would be a burdensome exercise. Another perspective on the psalm is that it mentions almost in every verse the law of God. And then we might get the idea that the psalm is a great big lecture about the law of God, but it is much more than that. The psalmist sees himself as a pilgrim. A pilgrim in this world. And he looks at all of life, including the troubles that he experiences because of the wicked who surround him. He looks at all of life with that vertical perspective. Thou art my portion, O Jehovah. He sees his life in connection to the covenant fellowship he has with God. And then the psalm that he writes is not this big long lecture, but it rather is a prayer of the psalmist that he utters when his life sees trouble, but in connection with the fact that he belongs to God. And now the psalmist, as he writes this prayer to God, gives us the opportunity to listen in to see how he interacts with the circumstances of life and how he prays to his God. And that perspective stands on the foreground when he proclaims to God in his prayer, Thou art my portion, O Lord. He prays that to God. He confesses that to God. And by example, then, he calls us to make that same confession. Thou art my portion, O Lord. In the midst of my pilgrimage, that I pray will be our personal confession every day of our lives. Let's consider the text under that theme, Jehovah, my portion. Let's note the meaning of that. Secondly, the commitment that flows out of that truth. And that is the commitment to keep God's words. And lastly, the prayer that also flows out of the truth. The whole psalm is a prayer to God that flows out of the truth that Jehovah is his portion. Jehovah, my portion. That is the starting point for the whole of our pilgrimage. That is the perspective that you and I must have in the midst of this valley of tears. Jehovah is my portion. Literally, the psalmist puts it this way in verse 57. He says in the Hebrew, portion mine, Jehovah. He makes portion the very first word of this section, indicating the emphasis of the psalmist in this entire section. Jehovah is my portion. And the portion for the Israelite in that day generally was associated with the inheritance that they had received. The inheritance that was allotted to them. That's the idea of a portion. It's that which is allotted to us. It's not something that we go and grab ourselves and make our own possession. And that's the idea of the inheritance as well. The inheritance is not something that we earn for ourselves, but it's something that is graciously given to us. And now you can see why that word portion and inheritance are associated so often in the scriptures. If you do a word search, you can find that. The portion for the child of God is that greatest and most precious possession. It would be that one thing that you would cling to. If you had to give up everything else, you would say, but this is my portion. This I will have above all things. What is your portion, beloved? And what is my portion in this world? What is it that is above all things most precious? The wicked have those things that they seek after. Their most precious possessions are their idols. They make idols out of their houses or their cars or their investments, perhaps their influence over others. Maybe it's the pursuit of pleasure, the eating and drinking and making merry in this life. That is their portion. That is what is most precious to them. And they want nothing to do with Jehovah as their portion. They want nothing to do with His law because that doesn't fit with the pursuit of their idols. But God has allotted to us something so precious. He has given to us our portion. He has made Himself to be our portion. And that's what the psalmist proclaims. Thou art my portion, O Jehovah. Through the precious sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God has purchased us for Himself. And it is exactly that glorious truth as the psalmist considers that Jehovah has given us this allotment, even himself, that makes him proclaim in this section of the psalm, verse 64, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." God's mercy that sees us in our misery and sets himself to take us out of that misery and to give us the greatest good. That's his mercy. And the psalmist says, "The earth is full of thy mercy." That's how great thy mercy is towards me. He sees Jehovah. Catechism students will recognize that when "Lord" is in all capitals, refers to Jehovah. The psalmist sees that Jehovah, the great I Am, the creator of the universe, the God who is absolutely sovereign over the smallest and the greatest things in all of creation, who rules over all things, the God who does not depend at all on the creature in any way, that God, the great I Am, has made himself our portion. That God, who never changes, who keeps mercy to thousands of generations of them that love him and keep his commandments. What an amazing truth that Jehovah would take rebellious sinners and bring us into covenant fellowship with himself. Jehovah has made himself our portion. Now we have the privilege to talk with him, going to him in prayer and hearing his word proclaimed to us, "Thou art my portion, O Jehovah." And although we continue to be plagued by the old man of sin, so that there is a part of us that pursues after the idols of this world, so that we are drawn after them time and again, yet we still confess with the psalmist, "Jehovah is my portion. He above all things is most precious to me." We are his people, and he is our God. He has made us to be of his party. And now that colors the whole of our life. That truth that Jehovah has made himself our portion is going to affect the whole of our lives and set up the antithesis. And that means, in the first place, when we are of God's party, we will want to be with God's people. You find that in the psalmist. When he confesses, "Thou art my portion, O Jehovah," then it becomes clear that he also wants to be with others of God's people who make the same confession. I want to be with those of God's people who say the same thing, who cry to the same God, "Thou art my portion, O Jehovah." And so we find the psalmist in this section of the psalm, verse 63, he says, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. I am a companion. I am closely bound together with others who worship the same God. I am united to them because God, by His grace, has made Himself to be my portion and the portion of all His people, because God has brought me into the same body. I am a companion of all them that fear Thee. That makes sense. Absolutely makes sense that when I see Jehovah as my portion, I will join myself to the Church Institute. If Jehovah is my portion, I don't say to myself, well, I'll just live my life of following God all by myself. I don't need the church. That wouldn't be the words of someone who had Jehovah as his portion. No. When Jehovah makes himself our portion, we want to be with God's people. We join ourselves to God's people in the Church Institute. How grateful we can be that God has brought us into a faithful congregation, into a faithful denomination of churches that confesses Jehovah is our portion. And when that's true, that Jehovah is my portion, then I want to spend my life with a spouse who also makes that same confession, who says, Jehovah is my portion. Young people, as you look for a spouse and you consider that future, when Jehovah is your portion, you will want to marry only in the Lord. And you will want to marry those who hold the same regard for Jehovah, those who fear Him and stand in awe of Him. And that affects all of our relationships, all of our friendships. We want to be with God's people in the school, because Jehovah is our portion. That in the first place, that flows out of the truth that God has taken us into covenant fellowship with Himself. We want to be in the sphere of the covenant with God's people. But on the other hand, the antithesis not only places us with God's people, it separates us from the wicked. That's something that comes out throughout this entire psalm. Almost every section the psalmist mentions some kind of affliction, usually at the hands of the wicked. Notice in this section, verse 61, he says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Those wicked don't have Jehovah as their portion. And he says, they have robbed me, not to say they came and stole my money, but the idea of these bands of the wicked is that they surrounded the psalmist in order to destroy him spiritually. It was to rob him of his faith, if they could. That's the antithesis. We want to be with God's people, and we stand over against the wicked because they hate Jehovah. When you and I say, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation day and night." We don't want to be with those who say, "Oh, how I hate that law." If that's the God of the Bible, I want nothing to do with Him. I don't want to be with those people who hate God and hate God's law. I want to be a witness to them. I want to be used by God to bring God's Word to them so that they too will make the same confession I do. But I don't want to fellowship with them, those who hate God. Psalm 119 in the 115th verse, same psalm, the psalmist says, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God," as if to say, Jehovah is my portion, and He is not your portion. Does that show itself in your life, beloved, that antithesis? A delight to be with God's people, to fellowship with God's people, those who fear Him and worship Him? And does it show itself in our desire to be separate from the world? Not just separate from the individuals, but all the manifestations of that hatred of God on the television or in the music that comes on the radio that praises the wickedness of men. I want nothing to do with that. By God's grace, I say, depart from me, ye evildoers. When Jehovah is our portion, that colors the whole of our lives. It sets up the antithesis. And so you see in the psalmist, in the very same breath that he says, "Thou art my portion, O Jehovah," he expresses this commitment, "I have said that I would keep thy words." Knowing that Jehovah is his portion, he makes that promise. "I have said." That was a promise that the psalmist uttered. "I have said, I would keep thy words." Well, to keep, and children, you would know this, to keep, a shepherd keeps his sheep. A shepherd who keeps his sheep is going to give great care to those sheep. When the psalmist says, "I have said I would keep thy words," he is expressing his commitment to give great care over the words that God has given to him. All the words of God. "I have said that I would keep thy words." Words in the plural. Everything in Scripture that God has said, the psalmist says, "I want to exercise great care over this word. I want to meditate on this word," which has as its central message salvation in Jesus Christ. When he says, when he speaks of his commitment to keep God's words, in the first place, then, the psalmist is saying, "I want to pay great attention and meditate upon the word of God's promise, the word of the gospel, the word of God's love to me. I have said that I would keep thy words." He didn't have all the scriptures that we have today, but what a privilege, beloved, that we can read through God's Word day by day, and we can hear His Word preached not only once on the Lord's Day, but twice. What a privilege. The psalmist commits himself to keep those words that express God's love to us. And he also wants to keep those words that show us the way for us to express our love to God. I have said that I would keep thy words. I want to keep the law of God. That is an expression of my love to him. And you find that throughout the psalm. The psalmist doesn't count God's law a burden. Rather, you find over and over he expresses his delight in that law. Verse 77 of the psalm, a little bit later in the psalm, he says, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. And you find that delight expressed in a multitude of ways throughout the psalm. When Jehovah is our portion, we will be committed to keep God's words, to rejoice in the love that God has to us, that love that is proclaimed in His Word, and to keep those laws that show us the rule of how to express our love to God. And that will manifest itself also when we have that commitment, and when Jehovah is our portion, we will want to turn from sin and repentance. Of course, if we love God's law, we want to express our love to God, that will go hand in hand with a life of repentance. And that's what the psalmist says in verse 59. He expresses his desire to turn from sin. Verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I thought on my ways, and the idea is, I saw where I fell short. When I thought on my ways in the light of God's Word, and I saw that I missed the mark, I wanted to turn my feet away from that evil way, and I want to turn my feet unto thy testimonies. I want to turn my feet into the way of obedience. Why would you and I ever want to do that, beloved? To turn our feet away from sin and to turn back to God. We would never want to do that by nature. By nature, we would say, I want to continue in that way. And I will not turn from that way. But God, by His grace, when Jehovah makes Himself our portion, He draws us to Himself. When Jehovah is our portion, we will think on our ways, and we will daily turn our feet into the way of obedience. That's the confession of the psalmist. And indeed, the more we want to express our love to God, not only will we turn from sin, but we will delight to give immediate obedience. Isn't that an expression of love? Immediate obedience. We find that in our own families. If
We tell our children, could you wash the dishes? And they wait, and they wait, and they wait. And pretty soon they've gone to bed and they forgot to wash the dishes. Well, there's a certain reflection of love or the lack of love in the fact that they did not render immediate obedience. Because love, when we express that love, we want to obey quickly. That's what obedience is. Loving obedience is quickly doing what we are told with a happy and submissive spirit. Well, that's the way in our families, but that's also the way with God. When God gives us His law, we want to keep it immediately by His grace. And so what does the psalmist say? Verse 60 of this section, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He didn't want to hesitate. That's God's grace that brings us to that point. When Jehovah makes Himself our portion, we will be committed to His words, committed to repentance, committed to immediate obedience, and committed to stand up against the temptations and wiles of the devil. Notice verse 61, he says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. So there's those wicked that are coming against him. But notice how he remains steadfast by God's grace. He says, but I have not forgotten thy law. I have not deliberately ignored thy law or put it behind me. Even when the wicked sought to lay a snare for me. All of that flows out of the truth that Jehovah has made Himself our portion. That shows itself in the commitment that we make, committed to keep God's words. But it also shows itself, beloved, in that we become people of prayer. And every time I mention this, I remind myself that I do not pray enough. No child of God can say, I have prayed enough. But when we are made God's children, brought into covenant fellowship with Himself, when Jehovah is our portion, we will be those who pray. And that truth will also affect what we pray. Many of you have heard that acronym, ACTS, that describes, gives a summary of the contents of prayer. In the first place, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. When we are made children of God, we will include those things in our prayer. That makes sense. That the psalmist would, having been made a child of God, when Jehovah is his portion, he wants to adore God. He wants to praise his God. It cannot be otherwise. And so those very words that he utters, thou art my portion, O Lord, those are words of praise. And you find that throughout the psalm, over and over, he utters words where he says, I will praise thee. Or he speaks of God in a way that gives praise to his God. Over and over. Verse 7 of the psalm, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Jehovah. Verse 164, he says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 171, my lips shall utter praise. Be an interesting exercise to find how many times the psalmist utters words of praise throughout the psalm, which is his prayer. When Jehovah is our portion, we will adore him in our prayers. Words of adoration. But then in the second place, when Jehovah makes himself our portion, we will see we need Jehovah as our portion. We will then confess our sins and our neediness. We are a needy people. And you find that either implied throughout the psalm or directly stated. Here in this section, he implies his neediness when he says, I thought on my ways. And when he sees he has to turn his feet, he sees he has fallen short. Other places in the psalm, verse 9, he makes the request or asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Verse 9. He understands that he is needy. He needs God's grace. He is a sinner. Or verse 176, the very last verse, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Not only then does he adore his God, words of adoration, also words of confession, and then words of thanksgiving. Verse 62 of this section, all flowing out of the fact that Jehovah is his portion, he says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. He wants to rise and give thanks to God because he understands that God's judgments, God's governing acts, are the way that he saves his people. Thanks for God's salvation. Why at midnight? The text doesn't tell us. We can guess why at midnight. Perhaps it is at midnight the psalmist has going through his thoughts all kinds of thoughts of thankfulness, that he would want to rise and express those thoughts to God. Or maybe it is at midnight when he's not interrupted by others, when he has time all by himself to speak to his God in words of prayer. Maybe it is that he refuses simply to turn over and go back to sleep when he has opportunity to give thanks to his God. When Jehovah is our chief delight, our prayers will be marked also by thanksgiving. And lastly, they will be marked by supplication. We are needy people, then we will ask our God to give that which we stand in need of. And so we find throughout this psalm, he asks God for grace and mercy. In this section as well, he says, verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. He asks for grace and mercy. You understand, he already has received grace and mercy. Otherwise, he never would even make that request. But he wants God to continue to give grace and mercy, to give grace and mercy for the needs that I have today. He understands that God doesn't simply save us by an act of grace and mercy and then leave us go our own way to make our pilgrimage in our own strength. But he asks for that continued grace and mercy along the way. Every moment we stand in need, and so we pray, we make supplication to God. Does he pray to God and say, grant me this grace and mercy because I have earned it? Not at all. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. According to thy word, that is, thy word of promise. That word of promise, the promise of salvation, which promise is yea and amen in Jesus Christ. We pray, grant these things to me, O Lord, for Christ's sake, because I don't deserve it. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. When Jehovah makes himself our portion, he causes us to be of his party. He makes us love God's people. He makes us detest the wickedness of the wicked and want to be separated from that wickedness. He works in us so that we are committed to keep all of his words, to rejoice in that word of the gospel, to delight in the law that shows our expression of love to him. And he makes us people of prayer. All of our salvation is of him. That's why the psalmist delights so much to make that confession. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Believe in that Jehovah, beloved. Look to him alone for all of our salvation, because he alone can satisfy. He is our portion and chief delight. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give thee thanks for thy grace and thy goodness towards us. We give thee thanks that thou hast made thyself to be our portion. Grant to us that we may reflect that in all of our lives, to the glory and honor of thy great and holy name. Forgive us where we have fallen short, and continue to lead us by thy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.